you why you should be excited about the coming of the Lord. And I want to tell you why I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. Would you stand with me this morning and turn with me to the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13. It's so good to see a good full house this morning. I know our pastor will be excited that you're here today. He will be back next Sunday, actually this Wednesday night, and we'll have a regular services next Sunday. The Lord is good. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. If you're there, say amen. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, that word asleep doesn't mean they dozed off during the sermon. That word asleep means dead. That's what we Christians, we really, to really know, the body is asleep. Now, the spirit is with God, but we're talking about death. Concerning them which have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe, how many believers are in here tonight or this morning? I'm so used to preaching on Sunday nights, you'll have to forgive me. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep or who are dead in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or not get in the way of them which have died before us. Verse 16, everyone read that out loud. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Father, help us to get excited about the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're glad to see them, and you may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. If you forgot to put in your connection card, you can give it to me or Sister Darnell. When Paul wrote these words in the Thessalonian scripture that I read, they were in a world where there was extreme mourning for the dead. For those who had died, to those people there was no hope. But Paul is writing to them to let them know that there is hope beyond the grave. If you've lost a loved one, if you've placed someone in the grave, there is hope. That's not the end. If someone dies, that's not it. We are sad for the moment. We are looking forward to the day. They are just sleeping in the sense that they will, their body will be awakened, but their spirit is already with the Lord. When the Lord returns, if they've died, then we're going to, the Bible says, when the Lord returns and those, our loved ones who died before us, the Bible says that they are going to be raised up out of that grave, and together we're going to meet them in the air. I don't know why there's so much confusion on this thing called the rapture. And I especially don't know why we have a lot of preachers my age and other pulpits have quit preaching it. It is so clear in Scripture. If 25% of the Bible is prophecy and you spend 0% preaching it, then you're neglecting the Word of God. This is the blessed hope. This is a wonderful thing. I'm glad to know that when I laid my loved ones at the grave, I'm glad to know that at any moment I'm going to hear something from the sky. Gabriel's going to blow his trumpet. The dead and Christ are going to rise. We which are, hey, and if you're alive when the Lord comes, you're going to go sailing through the air. People ask questions like, what happens to your clothes? What happens if you're in a building? I don't care. The Lord can work that out. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's not if I preach a sermon, but when. The coming of the Lord, the meeting in the air, that great getting up morning. And when I think about that, praise God, I'm excited. It ought to be exciting. We ought to get excited. We ought to remind ourselves that this world is not our home. We are just passing through. We have got our treasures laid somewhere beyond the blue. And at any moment, this day, before this service, I'm telling you, we are on the verge of the verge church of the verge of the greatest news event happening. They're going to break in on the fake news network, and this time it's going to be real news. And they're going to say, millions have disappeared. Planes and cars have crashed. What is happening, Dan? It looks like all those Bible-thumping believers are missing. Quite frankly, we're not. We're glad they're gone. Bless God, we're glad we're going to be gone too. Somebody give him praise and get excited about the coming of the Lord. And some of you, one of the reasons you're not doing anything for the Lord is because you're not excited about his coming. If you know he's coming at any moment, you're going to get busy getting people saved, getting people in church. But I want to give you, listen, understand that there's signs of the time. Now, I got to start. I got to hit this real quick, and then I'm going to go to my main points. But in Matthew 24, the Bible tells us that, are you sure, Pastor Ricky, that the Lord is coming? I'm telling you, he is at the door. We are closer than we've ever been. The Bible tells us of the signs of the time, wars. Did you know that half of the people who've ever died in wars from the beginning of time until now, half of them died in the last 100 years. The nation at wars. The Bible says there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. We live in constant state of emergency. That's a sign of the time. The nation of Israel. I'm talking about Jerusalem, Israel. It was not happenstance that 70 years to the day almost that we moved our embassy. This is not being political. I'm not endorsing any party. I'm just telling you, God doesn't operate on politics. He moved on somebody's heart, and it got done that we recognized the capital of Israel was Jerusalem 70 years to the day that the nation was founded. 70 years. That didn't just happen. The nation of Israel, the events happening there are pointing to the soon return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Technology. Listen, in the book of Revelation, it tells us that people all over the world will see the image of the Antichrist, that he will speak. They couldn't understand that when the Bible was written, but the Bible was so accurate that it was pointing to the time that we have television. And we thought that was the big thing. But I'm here to tell you, we've gone beyond television. I'm here to tell you right now, I can pull up YouTube, I can pull up movies, I can pull up anything on my smart device. And now think about technology. You know, the Bible says that there's coming a day that the Antichrist, the one who is against Christ, who will be the ruler of this world, he will say you cannot buy or sell food or buy anything or buy food unless you have a mark, unless you have on your forehead or on your hand. And he's going to watch people. How is he going to watch people? Well, think of the technology that's here today. Do you realize that now we have smartphones that just came out, the iPhone X Max S just came out, face recognition. Are you with me? You don't have to touch anything. It looks at you, and it can tell. And I found out that if you put on glasses, it'll still recognize you. If you grow a mustache, it'll still recognize you. Please understand, people, we're living in a time where nobody can hide. Everybody has your information. And even these home networks now where you can go in and say, Alexa, cut on my lights. Alexa, cut on my air conditioning. Do you know those are live microphones? Now, please don't think I'm being a conspiracy theorist here, you know. Lord, the sales are going to go down at Best Buy if I do this, but be careful. These are legitimate products, and there's no conspiracy, but I'm just here to tell you that these microphones can pick up what you say. Why are y'all laughing? But think of it. Technology that hears you talk, that recognizes your face. There's going to come a day, and I believe it's going to happen, Brother Philip, before the rapture. There's coming a day, and when you go to that voting booth and you vote certain ways, understand, when you go to a certain way and you vote, there's coming a day when they're going to be listening in on church services like this. And if we say things against homosexuality, or if we say things against other sins, if we say things, there are going to be people meeting us in the parking lot and trying to shut us down. I'm here to tell you it's going to get worse before it gets better, but you know what? Bring it on, because the Lord is soon to return, and I'm getting excited about his return. Amen. Think about the flood of 2004. I know that was several years ago, but 2004, the flood, the tsunami that hit Southeast Asia, it killed more people in that flood than ever in recorded history. And the only other time when a flood killed that many people was, guess when? In the days of Noah. Well, Jesus said that in the last days, you'll know it's the last days because just like the floods were in Noah's time, there'll be floods in that time. I'm not talking about the floods of Hurricane Florence. That's bad enough. That's natural coming. But I'm talking about the tsunami of 04 killed more people in the flood. And I want you to understand something. That flood was devastating. They had no warning. All of a sudden, millions and millions of people wiped off the face of the earth because of a tsunami. These are the signs of the time. Earthquakes. The Bible speaks of earthquakes. And I know in eastern North Carolina, I'm talking in eastern North Carolina. I'm not talking about California. I'm talking about right here. I personally have experienced minor earthquakes. I remember sitting in the office in 2002 when I pastored here. And that office right there, the pastor's office, I was sitting there reading a book one afternoon, studying. And all of a sudden, I heard things shake. I heard that shaking noise. I can't replicate it here. But it's like, and I thought maybe a big truck was going by, but it didn't. Usually a truck goes by, it lasts about 5 seconds. This kept on for about a minute or two. And I'm like, I really need a day off. I'm looking around. I'm like, well, I put my book down. I said, rapture time, maybe. Come to find out, an earthquake had hit Richmond, and we could feel the tremors here in Wilson. Not everybody felt it, but because I was still and quiet and reading, I felt it. But I'm just here to tell you, soon and very soon, you need to keep your eye on the eastern sky. It's midnight, like the man in the house whose clock struck 17 times. The grandfather clock at midnight supposed to strike 12 times. It got stuck, and it struck 17 times. And the man got up, disoriented, kept hearing that thing go off. He said, get up, get up. It's later than it's ever been. My friend, tell somebody right now, it's later than it's ever been. And don't you look down. And don't you wear a frown. Because I'm here to tell you. In fact, somebody said, I've quit looking for signs. They're everywhere. I'm listening for the shout of the voice of the archangel. And it's time this morning, church, to get excited about the coming of the Lord. Give him a hand of praise here this morning. Because we're here. Four reasons why we should be excited about the coming of the Lord. Number one, it resolves the problems of a hurting world. This is a hurting world. When I think about alcoholism and how much alcohol has hurt families, can I say something? Please don't drink alcohol. Please don't social drink. Please don't let people see you as a Christian drink. You say, well, I'm free and it's not a sin. You are free, and I'll debate with you about whether it's a sin or not, but I will tell you this. Let's leave a good example. Amen. Alcoholism, well, I don't drink to excess, but others see that. We are to live a witness and a godly example. And Budweiser and beer and spirits and drinks are not good for your body, and they're certainly not good for your testimony. So just why not? Why not? Why do you need to do it? We have the Spirit of the Lord. We have the blood of the covenant. We have the Word of God. We don't need a social drink to get us through the day. We just need the promises of God. Amen. There's really no reason. I could preach a whole sermon on that. But see, when your daddy, my father, every time he'd get to the dinner table and he'd cut his steak, he would stumble over because he was inebriated. And he didn't drink hard liquor or vodka. He just drank one Budweiser right after the other. And tears flow through my eyes. And how much time was robbed and how much meaningful conversation. My friend, I'm here to tell you, abstain from the very appearance of evil and get excited about the coming of the Lord. By the way, I don't want a cup of vodka if the rapture takes place. Do you? Come on, let's think about this thing. You just might get left behind to witness to those who stayed behind. That's another sermon for another day. Y'all still love me? I'm going to take a vote. Raise your hand if you still love me. I didn't see that. When I think of alcoholism, when I think of suicide, when I think of kidnapping, when I think of murder, when I think of murder, when I think of aborted babies, may I remind you, they can abort babies at 9 months. I was talking to a friend of mine at work the other day. He said, no, he doesn't go to church. He just knows what he hears. And he's like, I thought they could only abort a child at maybe a few weeks. I said, no, sir. It's called partial birth abortion. And there are politicians who stood on the floor of our Senate who fought for it. That is the argument over the Supreme Court because they're afraid they're going to take that away. Let them take it away. It is murder. You should not do it even at one day, let alone the 9 months. Church, wake up. There's a reason Pharaoh killed all those babies, because the devil knew there was a Moses in that mix. There's a reason Herod said, kill all those children, because Jesus was in the mix. There's a reason these politicians anointed by the damnation of hell to stand up and kill babies from the mother's womb. And I don't, if you go to that voting booth and vote for people for that, you need to ask the Lord to forgive you. Amen. I'm not going to apologize for that. I'm tired of preachers who are not preaching the truth, who are so tired of offerings and what somebody's going to say. The days of just being a preacher is over. It is time for a prophetic ministry. It's time for prophets again to say, thus saith the Lord. And I quite frankly don't care what you tweet and put on Facebook. You display your lack of spiritual discernment and your lack of understanding the times. Folks, these are wicked times. And we have got to say there's hope. And every baby is precious. Mother, if you get pregnant and it's out of wedlock and you don't want to have that baby, I promise you we can find somebody who does. Let God be God. He will love and forgive. Every conception is God ordained. The events may be terrible, but God can take great things out of bad events. Oh, give Him praise this morning for life. I'll tell you, when the Lord comes, you won't see that. Amen. When the Lord comes, it resolves the problems of a hurting world. People, Hitler's Germany of the 30s and 40s, who marched the Jews to the gas chambers. No more of that. Al-Qaeda, 9/11, internet pornography, fornication, adulterers. People have been married for 20 years, and all of a sudden their husband has an affair, and it devastates a family. Keep your marriage vows. When you get married before an altar, make a commitment to death parts. I'll tell you, that's where love is. That's where fulfillment is. I know my heart rests in a woman who will be with me even if I get sick, even if I can't take care of myself. And I'm glad to know I've got almost 25 years invested in my marriage, and I'm not going to let anything keep me from that. There's a reputation. And I'm going to tell you something. Christian couples, listen to me. You need to keep your marriage strong. You do not need to separate. You do not need to divorce. You do not need to say, well, we just don't love each other anymore. Well, guess what? Fall in love with Jesus, and you can fall in love with one another all over again. And what's to think when you get to the next marriage partner? I found my soulmate. No, you found your playmate, and you're going to go to hell if you don't repent. You need to be married. I didn't come prepared to say this. I promise you, I'm much too nice to preach like this. I promise you, I preach from my heart this morning. Folks, we got to get down to where we're living here. I'm tired of people coming up with all kinds of excuses. Listen, is marriage perfect? No. Guess what? Guess what? I'm not perfect. When I think about my wife and what she's got to put up with, ain't no way I'm going to leave her now. Amen. Praise God. Well, my wife just doesn't. She's not as pretty as she used to be. Listen, beauty is on the inside. I know of a man. I'm not going to call his name, but I know a man right now. He's like, he's got it, found him somebody younger. And he's been married for many years. And now that younger one, it's all after the money and all after this, causing all kinds of drama. Friends, do it God's way. And get excited about the coming of the Lord. If you know the Lord is coming, you're not going to be messing around anyway. If you know the Lord is coming, you're not going to be flirting with somebody. Come on. If you know the Lord is coming, you're going to raise your children. If you know the Lord is coming, you're going to have them in the house of the Lord and say, we need to focus on the coming storm that's about to hit this world and the coming Lord who is about to return. Somebody shout glory to God. I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. It resolves the problems. It resolves the problems of a hurting world. See, people are hurting. Slander, gossip, all the sin sin. I'm not preaching against sin from I'm a self-righteous and you're a bunch of sinners. I'm telling you, I'm broken. Sin has broken my life. I know I have sinned. We've all sinned. It hurts us all. And we've had the effects of sin. But the moment he comes, it resolves the problems of a sinful and a hurting world. Amen. Man went into a restaurant, and it wasn't like Cracker Barrel. It wasn't lit up, but it was dark. And he went into the restaurant, pulled out the menu, and he couldn't see the menu. It was so dark. Have you ever been to a restaurant so dark you couldn't see the menu? But after about 5 minutes, he could see the menu. He was like, oh, I see it now. They had not turned up the lights. You know what happened? He got used to the dark. He got used to the dark. And God help us as a church. And God help us when we see things on TV that our children do not need to see. And quite frankly, you don't need to see. I'm not going to get used to the dark. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to get excited about the coming of the Lord. There's sorrow in this world. Hungry children in Africa and in America. Sickness. I hate cancer. I hate that it took one of my great friends, Melody Parnell, who was my music and youth pastor at Smyrna, and one of the godliest women that you'll ever know. She never got married. She was single all her life. She kept praying for the right one to come. And I'm going to cry thinking about it. I'll tell you who she finally got married to. Jesus Christ is her husband. I'm telling you, she was such a pure woman of God that I'm telling you, there was no man on this earth. I don't mean that braggingly, because I know she was a human. I know she was like all of us. She was not perfect. But I'll tell you what, she got cancer and died. And others, Angela Hussey's in the Bryan Center, and different ones among you, Sister Jonah, and others that are suffering, not with cancer, but other things. And I don't like to say, but I'm here to tell you, the moment the Lord comes back, no more hospitals, no more cancer, no more sickness, no more disease, no more lonely nights. I want you to know Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 9, Brother Blue says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. I'm excited about the Lord's return, because no more hurting, no more kidnapping, no more bullying, no more robbery, no more false accusations, no more hurt, accidents, sin, sorrow, death. It's all going to be obliterated, and that ought to get you excited about the coming of the Lord. The old song of the church says, then the sin and sorrow, pain and death of this dark world shall cease, and a glorious reign with Jesus, 1,000 years of peace. All the earth is groaning, crying for that day of sweet release. For our Jesus shall come back to earth again. Then the chorus says this. Oh, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Yes, our Lord is coming back to earth again. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. After Jesus shall come back to earth again. Amen. Amen. Number two, not only am I excited about the Lord's return because it solves the problem of a hurting world. Number two, it not only resolves the problems, but it reveals the presence of the one I love. The one who died for me. There's nobody, listen to me, nobody loves you like Jesus. Now, I'm no earthly love. I just told you about my wife and I. We deeply love each other. There's the love of a church. There's love of friends. There's love of our children and our loved ones. But let me tell you, as wonderful as I love Christmas, I'm at that age now where Christmas to me, I cherish sitting at home in front of the Christmas tree, and my family is there, and we're laughing, and everybody's healthy, everybody's together. That is a cherished love, and so many people don't have that. So many people don't experience that. There's people that who's had fathers to abuse them or had mothers to forsake them that don't have the love that we have. But I'm going to tell you, nobody loves us like the Lord. And I can't wait to see him because I love him. Amen. And the coming of the Lord reveals the presence of the one that I love. 1 John 4:19. We love him. Why, church? Because he first loved us. In fact, a little girl, in Sunday school, somebody back here said, got it wrong and said, we hugged him because he first hugged us. When I think how that I was a sinner, I was deserving of hell. When I think that when he was on the cross, Brother Ray, I was on his mind. When I think that when I asked him for mercy, he gave it to me. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, took me from the miry clay, set my feet on a rock, and established my goings. Has written my name. I got a new name, Brother Raleigh, written down in glory. When I think I've got a mansion, the old song, just over the hilltop. When I think that he's coming soon, I get excited because I'm going to see the one that I love and the one that loves me. Amen. Now, I don't mean to be legalistic, and I don't mean to be pessimistic, and I don't want you to understand me the wrong way, but some of the reasons people are not exciting about the coming of the Lord, because they're not as in love with him as I am. And I don't mean that legalistically. I don't mean that wrong, because I'm not perfect. I'm not where I want to be. I want to love him more. Amen. But there's some people that God's like, yeah, he's a good guy. Yeah, we got a good thing going. No, I'm talking about I'm in love with the Lord. I love him. Because I love him, I hold my tongue sometimes. Because I love him, I'll turn the other cheek. Because I love him and he loves me, I'm gonna forgive those who've hurt me. Because I love him, I'm gonna prepare for his coming because I want to see the one. Amen. Now, I don't want to be a killjoy, but we got a lot of people that are in love with the world, in love with the things of the world. Now, listen to me. Hear me out this morning. I'm gonna do another poll here whether you love me in just a minute. So stand by for your vote. But we got a lot of people that are so into the world. And nothing wrong with things. Nothing wrong with sports. Nothing wrong with going to the beach. Nothing wrong with good entertainment. I love good entertainment. I love to see a good movie. I love sports. I love weddings. And all of these things are good. These things are really good. Golfing, I really enjoy that. And I wish I had more time to do it. It's exercise. But let me tell you something. You got to be careful that we don't love those things more than the Lord. One of the reasons I haven't got out and golfed as much is because the times that I could golf, I'm like, you know what? I've been so busy, I haven't had time to really spend some time studying the scripture or being in the word or just spending time with the Lord and things like that. And I don't mean that to be holier than that. I promise you, I'm not trying to be holier than that. I'm just telling you, there's something inside of people who love the Lord that like, look, these things are good, but the ultimate desire is my relationship with God. And I'm excited about his coming. Oh, I can enjoy golfing. I can enjoy these things. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest joy of my life is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Walking with him, not because I'm trying to earn my salvation, but because he bought my salvation. And for him to do that for me, I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice. And I glorify your name. And if you ask me to do anything, it's not a burden to me. I'm like, yes, Lord, I'll tithe. Yes, Lord, I'll go to church. Yes, Lord, I'll help the preacher. Yes, Lord, I don't care. Why? Because I'm excited about the Lord, and I'm excited about his coming. So number three, I'm excited about, and you should be excited about the coming of the Lord, not only because it'll solve the problem of sin and sorrow, not only will it reveal the presence of the one I love, but number three, it releases the potential that we have. Do you know that the coming of the Lord, we ought to get excited about the coming of the Lord. You know why? Because the Bible says that just before his coming, yes, it's going to be tough. Yes, there's going to be wars, rumors of wars and famine, and there's going to be earthquakes right here, even in Wilson, and tsunamis. But I'm going to tell you something else. That things are going to get darker. Things are going to get tougher. There's going to be more persecution. But look at Romans chapter 5, verse 20. Look at that scripture. Where sin does abound, grace does much more abound. Now go to Acts chapter 2. And I'm about to get exploded here. Acts chapter 2 says, and it shall come to pass when? In the wind, What's he going to do? He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit. Let me tell you why I'm excited about the coming of the Lord. As we get closer to his coming, God is going to pour out grace. He's going to pour out blessings. He's going to pour out his Holy Ghost. Your young men will dream dreams. You see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And I'm telling you, we've got potential. The coming of the Lord is close. I'm excited because as we get closer, God's going to move in his church. God's going to say, there's going to be signs. There's going to be wonders. There's going to be miracles. We have the greatest potential now than ever to reach people for the Lord. Go back to that face recognition on the iPhone and that technology. Well, guess what? We're going to take that technology that the Antichrist is going to use, and we're going to use it now. Can I get a blessed amen? We're going to Facebook it. We're going to tweet it. We're going to put it out there. We're going to have a website. We're going to do everything we can to get the gospel. We have potential. The coming of the Lord. He is. Listen, get on fire. Hey, let me tell you something. If you're excited about the coming of the Lord and you know he's coming very soon, by nature, you're going to be inviting people to church. It got mighty quiet in here. Well, y'all think y'all going to make it to church today? When you're excited about the Lord, you're like, I'm on the way. Who's going with me? You better load up now. By the way, I tried that on my wife this morning, and it didn't work. She wasn't quite ready. Are you excited about the coming of the Lord? We have an opportunity. He said he's going to give us his spirit. Now's the time to win souls. Now's the time to build the church. Now's the time to shout it from the housetop. Now's the time to proclaim it to the nations. Now's the time on your jobs, in your family. Now's the time to be a witness. Well, so-and-so has got issues. Hallelujah. Tell them there's an issue resolver. Amen. So-and-so's got a problem. Well, now's the time to say, hey, we've got an answer to the problem. His name is Jesus. Lift your hand and just praise the Lord this morning. There's potential at Westmoreland Church. I'm telling you, Westmoreland, we're a last days ministry, and there's potential. We want to see this house filled with his glory, filled with his power, filled because we're standing on the threshold of the coming of the Lord. God, fill Westmoreland with the Holy Ghost. Pour out your spirit like never before. Let us see the sick bodies healed, lame walking. Let us see things happening in the mighty name of Jesus. And then finally this morning, I'm excited about the coming of the Lord because it resolves the problem of sin and sorrow. It reveals the presence of the one I love. The coming of the Lord releases the potential that we have as a church. And then number four, it ratifies the promises of an awesome Lord. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. I'm excited because God... The coming of the Lord is a promise. Say amen. Amen. He has promised to come. And I want you to know that he's already fulfilled a lot of other promises. Right. Say amen. 2 Peter chapter 3. Look at that. The Lord is not concerning what? His promise. As some men count slightness, but is long-suffering towards us. Not willing that any should perish, but it all should come to the repentance. Now go to verse 10. But the day of the Lord. I'm telling you, this is a promise. Now, the Lord has promised he will come. But go back to history. He promised the first time. He told Eve, he said, the seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent. And God kept his promise. When God said a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, in the book of Isaiah, on that first Christmas night, somebody say, he kept his promise. When God said he'll be born in Bethlehem of Judah, turn around and tell somebody. Amen. When God said that he'll rise from the dead, turn around and tell somebody. And when God said to tarry outside the city of Jerusalem and I'll pour out my spirit, you'll speak in tongues, turn around and tell somebody. He kept his promise at his first coming. And I'm here to tell you today, he'll certainly keep his promise for his second coming. It's about to happen. Get excited. Don't forget it. Look at Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. Verse 11, which said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up in heaven?" Read the last part with me. "This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go." He promised to come the first time. He's promised to come the second time. And his second coming will ratify those promises. They are yea and amen. And I'm excited about a God who will keep his promise. He is a promise keeping God. Amen. By the way, if he kept, and just a side note, he kept his promise to come the first time. He's promised to come the second time. What else has he promised in your life? I'll tell you what. He'll keep all of his promises. If he's promised to heal your body, he will fulfill that promise. If he's promised to save your son and your daughter on drugs, he will fulfill that promise. You hang on to God, and you have to show tough love sometimes, but stand in and pray and believe that God will make a way. I claim my family. I claim my finances. I claim that. Why? Because they are the promises of God, and he will keep all of his promises. Amen. Well, glory to God, somebody's going to get excited. I said, get excited that he's going to keep those promises. Hallelujah. He just might come in this service this morning. Come on, lift your hand up and thank him. If he's promised to forgive your sins, if he's promised to save your soul, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. If he's promised to fill this house and to bless this place, he will do it. Are you excited? Are you excited about the coming of the Lord? If you are, please celebrate God. And I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Now, I want to close with this. The coming of the Lord resolves the problems of a hurting world. Our world is hurting. Reveals the presence of the one I love. Releases the potential we have. And ratifies the promises. But I want to close by going back to the flood of 2004. After that flood, and after everything had cleared, millions of people lost their lives. But they found out something very, very interesting about that flood. I read this somewhere, and it's true. Come to find out, is that the trumpet now? Brother, I'm ready. If your phone goes off about right now, I believe I pass out. Hallelujah. Don't wake me up. Oh, God is good. But listen to me. After all those people died, they discovered that very, very few animals died. There was a zoo. And what happened was those animals have an instinct. And they know things that we don't know. They can tell by the pressure of the air. They are more sensitive to barometric pressure. They're more sensitive to motion. And their natural instincts told them to get to higher ground. And a lot of those animals from those zoos and a lot of animals survived. And they found them in higher ground because of that natural instinct. Now, we're not animals here this morning. But I'm going to tell you something. If you'll just be quiet for a minute and think about it, something down inside tells us things are not right. You know what that is? That's the Lord telling you. It's time to move to higher ground. It's time to get your life right. It's time to forsake your sins. It's time to repent of getting used to the dark. It's time to get excited because there's one that loves you, one that died for you. Why don't you give your all to him? Would you bow your head this morning? And Father, just amazing grace or something. Father, as Brother Clark plays this morning, We are asking right now that you would speak to hearts. That something down deep is moving you to get to know Jesus. If you don't know Him as your Lord and Savior, put aside your failures. Put aside your times that you tried and failed. And I want you to come to the Lord this morning. And I want you to do one thing. And I want you to repent. And I want you to say, Father, forgive me. And I promise you, He will forgive you. He will rescue you. And He will empower you. And your life will never be the same. Jesus is the only thing that can change your life. Making a new habit, taking a class, turning over a new leaf, those things won't get you anywhere. Maybe there's some good, but nothing like the power of Almighty God in this service today can change you and make you ready for the coming of the Lord. If you're not ready for the coming of the Lord, if you're not ready for Him to come right now, if there's anything holding you back, I want you to just pray this prayer. Father, forgive me. I ask you into my heart, and I resolve to live for you, not in my own power, but yours, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me this morning? Would you stand? Come on, sing it.
He's all I need.
Come on, lift your hands.
Jesus is all I need.
Ask the Lord into your heart. Ask Him to forgive you.
He's all.
Turn to Him. Let Him do what only He can do.
I need Jesus.
He's coming soon. Sing that part.